after we go through, have an event like we did in Japan, like we did with Haiti about last summer, there are groups that are out there that look for opportunities to take advantage of a negative situation. They will establish internet sites and false charities to solicit the money, and they sound legitimate. Without actually doing some background research, it's very difficult to determine who are credible and who are fraudulent charities. So what the FBI has done is, back in 2000, there was a Internet Crime Complaint Center established, we call it IC3, to take internet fraud-type complaints. It's a collaboration between the FBI and the National White Collar Crime Center to serve as a vehicle to receive, develop, and refer criminal complaints in the area of cybercrime. During its 10-year tenure, the IC3 has become a vital resource for victims of online crime and for law enforcement investigating and prosecuting these type cases, and have received, at this point, they receive about 25,000 complaints a month.
Is that a lot more than usual? I mean, has it been going up?
It's a pretty steady number. Since it began 10 years ago, they received about 5,000 a month, and over the course of 10 years, it has, you know, gone up five times to about 25,000 a month.
And how do people know that they might need to complain? They send a check and it never gets cashed, or how can you really tell once your money has left? I mean, how does the FBI know what's legitimate and what's not?
What we do is we would actually look to the citizens call in and they say, I gave money and my credit card was charged, but I don't know that my money got there. How can I determine that my money got there? Many times we will receive multiple complaints about fraudulent groups, and we would open investigations on them, meaning law enforcement as a whole. That's one of the values of the IC3, is that it is a big, large database, and they do receive a lot of internet complaints. How do people determine that they might have been scammed? Do the people come back for them again and again? Did they respond to an unsolicited email request? Did somebody come to them and say, you know, please help my people, we need your money? If they have donated money or they're asked to give money and use a third-party processor for those funds, if an organization says that they will forward donations to the intended recipients, that's kind of a key indicator. One of the things citizens can do to make sure that a charity is a viable organization is to do some research online. They could look at some vetting tools, some vetting organizations like CharityNavigator.org. They can run the name on the internet to see if, in fact, it is a viable charity. They could call a local chapter of that charity. They could go by and visit the local chapter to make sure that that is a viable charity.
We're speaking with Supervisory Special Agent Teresa Ramsey of the FBI. Now, does the FBI maintain a database of people that might be repeat offenders? Every time there's a disaster, Joe Schmo sets up another website. It's easy enough to change website names and domains, but it's the same group that might be scamming the public.
The Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, does maintain... It is a big database that is used to see if, by chance, there is a pattern of behavior by a same organization. Another avenue would be through the National Center for Disaster Fraud, located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They, too, receive complaints, disaster-related complaints, such as the Haiti event. They coordinate, the FBI is coordinating their efforts through the National Center for Disaster Fraud to the IC3 site to ensure that all that information is forwarded.
Is the FBI ever able to recover money? Do you have recovery efforts that go after the people and try to, you know, claw it back so that there is no ultimate profit for them? And what happens when you discover someone who is a fraudulent charity?
I would say that there is restitution and recovery in the event that that is deemed an avenue. Part of the prosecution, investigation and prosecution, there are standard law enforcement avenues for that to happen.
And I wanted to ask about the numbers going up. You had said it earlier in the interview that, yeah, you're seeing more people being scammed and more scammers out there. And you talked about this database, which sounds voluminous. So how are you able to keep up with it all? How many people are staffing and what is their role?
There are, from the IC3 standpoint, there are specialized analysts who conduct research on the information contained in the database. There's also search tools that have been developed to facilitate the data mining and the ability to focus in on specific items. The IC3 is an internet-based application, so there are people assigned dedicated toward providing that information. One of the beauties of the IC3 facility and the IC3 database is that as these complaints come in, research is conducted both open source and within that IC3 database. And if an allegation is deemed to be potential worthy of an investigation, that information is then forwarded to law enforcement agencies, not just the FBI, but federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. What they serve is a conduit to take that information in, develop it as best they can without conducting an investigation, and forwarding out to various law enforcement agencies for investigative consideration.
And just final question real quickly, has the number of complaints and discovery of fraudulent charities risen in the aftermath of Japan?
At this point, the National Center for Disaster Fraud has received a limited number of complaints associated with the Japanese tsunami, and it has developed a disaster code specifically for that event. But it, like I said, it is a limited number, and the center is forwarding that information onto IC3 for inclusion in their database.